Thank you very much, Amy, for that. Parents, do you know your children? Little Alina over here, she's beautiful, cute little girl. Her problem is looking out there at all of you going. Now, when you get older than the oldest one that stood up here, you have a different problem. You don't want your friends to make fun of you. You have fear on both ends. Parents, I'm speaking to the parents. You got to fight both sides of that equation because, boy, when they get to a certain age, teenagers can be ruthless. All right. Let's stand. We're going to read Titus chapter 1, 1 through 4. Tonight, I'll be speaking on this same passage. I'm going to, for one or two, probably 2 weeks, step outside of minor characters, major impact. I'm going to talk about tonight Paul introducing himself. I want everyone to hear me. You don't have to be here. I'm not a guilt guy. I don't do any of the things that other pastors do to make you feel guilty about what you're doing. I'm just saying this. Tonight I'm going to talk about Paul introducing Paul. This week and probably next week to make it reasonable time. So, you know all the verses you skip over so you get to the good stuff? Do you know what I'm saying? Most Christians never get past favorite verse theology. Now, this morning, like Paul does, I believe in every single letter, the first verses are always the theme of the book. Titus is fundamentally about salvation. Look at me, everybody, and its implications. That's what he's going to talk about this morning. Eternal life, and he's just going to introduce, and the rest of the book, he's going to keep coming back to the idea of what's eternal life mean and what does it look like if you're a mother, father, etc. I need to say this before I go forward. It has nothing to do with me. You need to, you're a Filipino. You don't recognize it. I do because I'm an outsider. You're going to see a lot more women in Filipino churches than you do men. Not because men are evil more than women. It's because the Philippines is one of the most highly educated countries on earth with no jobs. So those hardworking, highly educated, very diligent people, what you see is the men are all over the world working to support their families in the Philippines. That's a big problem in the Philippines. By the way, it's a huge stressor on marriage. It's a huge stressor on child rearing. And it's just a sad fact. These hard, by the way, you go to Manila, I don't care when you go, you're going to see a line, and you're like, what are all these people? And they're holding a packet. Yes? Overseas foreign workers. And by the way, our hospitals in America are not filled with white people. They're filled with well-educated, hardworking, diligent Filipinos. When I had surgery, every nurse I saw was a Filipino. Didn't surprise me. By the way, I'm thankful. But you understand, when you see a church, that's the stressor. They're reaching people, we're building a church, but the husbands are some other place, working to support the families. Otherwise, you're living at an extreme poverty level. Extreme. You know, you're getting by on fishing, rice. All right. Dada, am I correct? All right, so I think everybody needs to understand that. The next time you're complaining about your job, Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, we'll talk about that tonight, and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So that's two of the ideas we'll talk about over the next 2 weeks on Sunday night. According or having something to do with the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. So you have a lot of things wrapped together there. Whatever the gospel is, you have to personally come to grasp it. It has to be acknowledged in your life. You have to own it. There's the faith, there's election. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. Wow, what a statement about God. Promised before the world began. But hath in due times, King James language, in the appropriate times, manifested his word through preaching. Then Paul, again, talking about himself, introducing himself while he introduces the theme of eternal life and its implications. He introduces himself, says, this ministry of preaching the gospel was committed unto me according to the suggestion of God our Savior. No, he's living under obligation to preach and to share the gospel. Let me just say this. If you're truly saved, to share the gospel is not only it's not an option. Let me ask you, if you had cancer and somebody handed you the cure and you met somebody else with cancer, wouldn't you by nature want to tell them about the cure? Well, yeah, but there's an obligation to this. Verse 4. It's according to the commandment of God our Savior to Titus, my own son, after the, I love this phrase, common faith. Paul, even though he was an apostle, shared in salvation that all believers have. It's the same for all of us. There's not more than one gospel. There's not more than, it's all the same. There's not levels, you know, I got the higher level, you got the lower level, none of that. It's the common faith. And then he greets him by saying, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm going to speak this morning on eternal life. I'm going to ask the question, what is eternal life? Father, help me this morning as I try to share simple ideas. Lord, anytime you stand to preach before people, you want people to grasp the hope we have in Christ and the implications, the whole package, the whole picture. Lord, it's so easy to drift in and out and not hear much of what's being said. Help me to share simple ideas this morning in a very simple way where we can walk out of here this morning and kind of have a pretty good idea of what is eternal life. Help me make it so, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When I walk into a church to preach, to speak to you, or any place. Dave, this is for you. Noel, this is for you. Pastor Kwok, this is for you. Cliffy, this is for you. You always think, maybe I should say this as opposed to this. Can I say this to all of you? You will drive yourself insane trying to second guess yourself. So you just got to make a decision and move forward. I'm going to start with an illustration. I love the illustration. It happened to me. And the illustration is going to lead into what we're going to talk about this morning. July 31st of this last year, the folks in this church know I had the privilege of having left knee replacement. I saw my doctor after 2 or 3 months. Was it 3 months? He said to me, are you ready for the second one? And I said, not particularly. Not until I have no other options. Well, we went to surgery. I woke up in the waiting, whatever, it's a kind of a recovery room. First person I saw after surgery, everybody look at me, was a Filipina, a nurse. I greeted her in Tagalog. She almost passed out. I got shoved to another person after a few minutes, another nurse, and guess what? Filipina. Well, after that day, I don't remember because I was pretty drugged up. You had to walk with your walker. And by the way, you're looking at a guy that doesn't like walkers. You say, do you have a big ego? Yes. And it doesn't include walkers. But I had to walk a long way down a hall with the walker first day, and then they had me go up 5 steps and down 5 steps to get out of the hospital. Okay, did that, came home. By the way, Jenny knows. Oh, was I fooled. Went outside and walked up and down the driveway 3 times with the walker. Didn't realize I was still drugged up. The next morning I knew I wasn't. Well, They send people to your house for a few weeks. They send a nurse that checks on you, and they send a physical therapist, like outpatient. She just kind of gets you moving, really. She doesn't do much because you're too swollen. The one physical therapist was an older lady, white lady, looks, you know, like something like me. She did a fine job, nice lady. She was probably older than us, wasn't she, Jenny? I think. She did a fine job. And then I have the nurse. She comes to make sure there's no infection, nothing like that, no temperature, checks, you know, checks all my vitals. Can I give you a guess what ethnicity she was? Well, actually, she was not a Filipina. She was a coconut. A pure coconut, because she didn't even speak Tagalog, even though she was 50-something years old. She didn't know any Tagalog. But nice lady, funny, a lot of fun. About the third time, she brought a young lady in training, 30-ish maybe, a young lady in training. I like people, in case you don't know. I like to know where you're from. If I ever asked you where you're from and you're from the Philippines, please don't tell me you're from the Philippines. Tell me where you're from. If you're from Mexico, I want to know where you're from. I like people. I like to understand people. I looked at this young lady when she came in. Jenny, you know this because you were there. And I'm like, she's with a Filipina, Pinay. But I knew she wasn't a Pinay. She just didn't have the physical characteristics. But I knew, by the way, this is very helpful. She was Asian. So my mind starts clicking. She's definitely not Malay. She doesn't have the skin tone for Malay. Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines. She's not Cambodian because, again, doesn't have the skin tone. Thai, she doesn't have any of the characteristics. I'm looking and I'm trying to think. Well, I'm thinking she's not Japanese, so I have to break down and ask her. That's embarrassing to me. I didn't want to guess because I couldn't figure it out. She didn't look Korean. She didn't look Japanese. She didn't look Vietnamese. I go clicking through the order. She says, then she made me guess. Folks, normally I can guess. She had grown up here. I don't know if all of her life. I think she had grown up here all of her life. I looked at her and I'm like, well, I know you're Asian. And I said, and I went down the list. I said, I know you're not this, 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 this. I went down everything I could think of. And honestly, if you asked me what I thought she was, I thought, I got two young men in the back. I thought she might be Chinese, but not Han Chinese. Now, some of you are even like, what are you talking about? Otherwise, one of the small minorities in China. I was kind of right. Finally, I begged it out of her. She said, I'm Mongolian. My next question, somebody tell me the next question. Do you ever talk to people? Do you still speak the language? She said, I'm like, whoa, first Mongolian that I've known personally. Lovely lady. You say, why do I say that? I'm going to come there in a few moments. You don't mind, do you? Can you wait a few moments till I get there? By the way, friend, I love meeting people from Mongolia. That's my first that I knew of. You say, where are you from, Pastor Warren? Nobody knows. Well, let's look if we can. I want to ask the question, what in the world is eternal life? We're going to look at it in three parts because it's in the text, obviously. And I want to get back to this concept of being surprised to see a young lady in America from Mongolia, which I'm sure there are people from Mongolia here, but not lots. Normally, I can kind of pin people down, but boy, I couldn't her. So what is it? Titus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says this. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith, and we have to start with this concept, God's elect. Elect means about what it means. It comes from, you know, like we get election. God makes choices. You say, do you believe that? Well, you don't have to believe it or not believe it. It's here. So do whatever you want. I'll explain more later. He goes on to say, in the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, And then he says, in hope of eternal life. Everybody look at me. How long is eternal? You have missed a point. You're thinking not in the way God thinks, but in the way you think. You're thinking eternal means that way. God is eternal. Yes or no? Actually, God does not exist in the time that you and I understand. God created the concept of time. And you say, that's heavy for my little brain. Welcome to Christianity. Christianity is not a man-made religion. It's God revealing himself. And God started time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, friends, that's kind of the nature. So, he goes on to say, verse 2 again, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Well, our first part of eternal life is this. Eternal life, number one, begins before time. It has to begin before time because God is not part of time. Can I say this to you? I have known my mother now for 68 plus years. I guess it's 68 and three quarters. I've known my mother. I love my mother, but my mother exists in time. Look at me. She chronologically gets older. So do I. We chronologically get older. Do you understand salvation begins before there's this thing called chronology, before there's this thing called time, in eternity past to eternity future? We're going to talk about all of that today. But that's it begins in eternity past. There are several words here. And Christy, are you up there? No, Steve's up there. Okay, Steve. I'm going to have you come back to these verses when I list these. There are three simple statements in these verses. I'm not going to explain all of it to your satisfaction this morning for time. There is the word elect. That means God has something to do with your salvation, and it happens before time. Something to do with it. We'll talk about that just minimally. Secondly, there's the concept of eternal life, and eternal life, everybody look at me, is not, it's eternal from eternity. There's no really, we say eternity past because we humans are stuck in time. We are dependent on God for everything. We can't get outside of time, but biblically speaking, God is. He exists and he starts time. Now, the third word, and Steve, I'll have you go back to those verses in just a second. It says in the text, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. In Greek, it is before chronology started. Wow. So if you go back to the verse Titus 1:2, promised before the world began, you have the word chronos in the text, which has the idea of chronology. So before there was ever a first day, second day, third day, first year, second year, third year, first millennia or century, first, second century, third century, first millennia, second millennia, third millennia, God existed. And all of this starts back there. Now, wait a minute. Everybody look at me. Please don't get weird on me. Please don't become bizarre. I'm coming to your table in just a minute. I know. I've been a Baptist all my life. Some Baptists, anything in the Bible that talks about this, they skip it. That's how they deal with the Bible. Skip it. I'm not going to skip it. By the way, if this isn't true, the rest of it doesn't even make sense. So you have this election or God's election. You have eternal life and before the world began. Another way of thinking about before the world began, we'll see that same phrase a little later, is before the clock started. Or if you prefer, before chronology began. We live in a succession of time and events. This morning in Sunday school, I learned that I don't know why I, because I'm not the oldest person here, but I lived in the 1920s. Folks, I want to be very clear. I did not live in the 1920s. My mother didn't live in the 1920s. My father was born in the 1920s. By the way, we have chronology. So if I ask you, by the way, I can tell within seconds when you were born. You say, how? Tell me about the Vietnam War. If you know nothing about the Vietnam War, and if you know nothing about this, turning the TV on at night to watch the news, Jim, and at the bottom, somebody tell me what scrolled. You don't know either, Rhonda, you're too young. By the way, missing in action, killed in action in Vietnam every night. By the way, I'm dating myself. I grew up in the 1960s and 70s. I'm dating myself. By the way, if I talked to my parents, it was World War II. They didn't have television. It was newspapers and the death totals, which were always not true. They were downplayed. Yes. Well, what does this mean for me? Okay, Pastor, you're saying eternal life begins before time. What has that got to do with me? Well, let's give you a few simple ideas. First of all, you and your background, and I would even go beyond that, and your group are not a surprise to God. Did you hear me? Everyone, look at me, please. We got people from all over the world right here. Do you know God didn't walk up to you and say, "You're what? I never heard of your group. Mongolian? Where's that at?" I have people all the time will tell me where they're from. And sometimes I know I love history. I love geography. I love people. So I try to understand. But sometimes I know. But I want to say this to you. If you were born right here in Zion, Waukegan, North Chicago, Gurnee, God is not like, "I never heard of those places." If you were born like me in St. Louis, thank God for St. Louis. Oh, I forgot. Was there a football game yesterday? Did the Bears win? Was a miracle happened? All right, I got to confess my sin. I knew the Bears were on. Somewhere at the end of the third quarter, I got on Amazon Prime, and they had a little summary, and I saw the Bears fail over and over. I didn't even watch the game. My buddy called me 2 minutes before the game's over. He says, "Are you watching?" That's about how some of you do life. By the way, God didn't go, "Where did you come from? You're what? You're from where?" I meet people all the time and they'll say, "I'm from so-and-so." And it's like, if you're Honduran and you're from this area, I know you're from Arancho. And they say, "How do you know that?" Because I've talked to a lot of Hondurans. And I tell them I've been to Copan, and they haven't been to Copan. I say, "I've been to La Ceiba." They haven't been to La Ceiba. I said, "I've been to Roatan," and they haven't been there. Can I say this? God knows everybody. He's not surprised. You say, "Does God know about people that look like me?" Yes, he does. I think there's a map, isn't there, Steve? I told the kids in Bible, this is the most, got to hear me, linguistically, culturally diverse area of the world. Nothing even approaches. I said linguistically, not how many languages. By the way, Philippines has lots of languages. Most of them are related in one way or another. Do you understand the difference? They're related languages. So I could take you to Georgia. You say, how many of you been to Georgia? Atlanta. How many of you have been to the country Georgia? How many of you know there is a country Georgia? Okay, a couple of you say you know, but you don't know where it's. Maybe you do. By the way, I don't know the colors. That's my problem. You have Georgia, you have Armenia, you have Azerbaijan. You go north of there, you have a little country called Ossetia. I'm sure you visited recently. Ossetia, by the way, you say, "Why do you know this stuff?" I don't know. I like stuff like this. Because when God looks at you, he's not like, because eternity, by the way, the gospel didn't begin with, "Well, we got a problem. We got sin. What am I going to do about that?" Oh, this all began in eternity past, friend. My favorite country, and I can't point it because I can't tell the colors, forgive me. But all of those are different linguistic groups. You see all these over here on the right. You can look this up yourself. Some of them have, there's all kinds of Mongolian and the Turkish people in here. Ossetia, are you guys ready? This will only be for people like Jim Duncan's age. Back in our dark ages in high school, they used to talk about the invasions of Europe, the Huns, the Magyars, the Vandals, the Goths. There was a group called the Alans that came with the Vandals. They came all the way through Europe. They then went down to North Africa, took over North Africa for a while. They conquered everything. By the way, Ossetia speaks part of their language is an Alan language. Anybody speak it? By the way, also in Ossetia, they speak, are you ready? From the Bible, they speak the descendants of the Scythian language. You say, you might show up there and say, I don't have a clue who you are. There's never a place on earth that our God doesn't send missionaries and Christians to evangelize. And he says, well, I didn't know about you, but I guess I can include you too. You're from where? You're from Negros? Who wants to be from Negros, Cliffy? You could have been from the sophisticated Cebu, where your wife is from. But you're from the backwater. You're from Dumaguete, someplace over there. It's Machungai always does. Over there, up there, down there. You're from over there. You're from a no place. By the way, God's not surprised. I want to say again, you and your background, your culture, does not surprise God. All of this was from eternity past. When you hear the gospel, friends, God is not surprised. Please look at me. From Mrs. Hall, nice American English name, right? I cannot say her maiden name properly. Sorry, Pam. But her maiden name, when I knew her as a young lady, and she's still a young lady, and I was a younger guy, used to be Nowakowski. A good Irish name. By the way, God is not surprised. Like, where are you from? From back here in the back. Leticia, one of the sweetest ladies I know, she is from Mexico. And by the way, God knows exactly her people, her background. God was always interested in you hearing the gospel. Always. Well, we'll continue. We better continue quickly. God always had you in mind. Genesis 12. From the beginning of Genesis. I'm only going to read the highlighted portions for time. God tells Abraham, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. He speaks about Abraham in 18:18, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in thee, every single one. 22:18, he again speaks to Abraham, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. God always had all peoples in mind. Genesis 28:14, he's now speaking to Isaac. 26:4, excuse me. Isaac is in 26:4. And it says, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Now he speaks to Jacob in 28:14. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And by the way, that's the Jewish chain, because Christ ultimately fulfills those prophecies and brings salvation to all peoples. Isaiah says in Isaiah 45:22, this is not a New Testament concept. Look unto me. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Do we have photos next, Steve? Some nice pili, right? My Filipinos, you're not sure? So here I am. Ezra, what year did you get married? Can you remember back that far? He looked at his wife, of course. Men are so good at this. Emily, what year did you get married? 2018. So was it December when we had the celebration in India? I'm in India. Folks, you say, I know what Indian people look like. Really? So I'm in India. Ezra's father, great man, brothers, love his brothers, Luther, Wesley, and who? Moses, there we go. Three brothers, love all, great guys. I'm there at their little Bible college, and I see, look at me in the eyes, Filipinos. And my first thought was, what in the world are these Filipinos doing? Filipinos are every place, but I didn't know they were at a college in India. Next picture. So, Lord willing, in March, I'll be over there teaching in the place called Nagaland, one of the dialects or languages, Nagamese. I don't know what tribe they are, so don't ask me which tribal group. By the way, they look like Filipinos. They don't do everything the same. They don't do this. They also don't do this. I don't know if they do this either. But by the way, Robert, just so you know, I sent you the picture. They do like karaoke, so I know they're really Filipinos. Friend, I'm like, I did not know there's a whole group of people in small states in far northeastern India. I thought they were, they're not Filipinos. I asked him, what is your descent? Does anybody know? They claim descent from Genghis Khan and the Mongols. Look at me in the eyes. God is not surprised about you. It was not like, what? By the way, you realize that in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, everybody take a breath. As far as I can determine, I can't find a single person that looks like me. There are no white people, as far as I can tell, in the Bible. Now, some of you think Jesus is white and blue. I know all that stuff. Can I say this to you kindly? God wasn't surprised when white people came along either. I think God always had us all in mind. Let's continue, please. I say sin was not a surprise to God. I would tell you this, salvation was planned before time began. There's no question about it. God always had us in mind. He always had salvation planned. John 17:4 says, Jesus says, I have glorified thee, the Father, on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. The present structure of things even was in, you know, even came to be. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. By the way, God's ultimate purpose is not for you to live in this sinful life and this sinful world. His ultimate purpose is you to be with him in down the road with a new heavens and a new earth created in his image apart from sin. He prays to the Father. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me, how long? Before the foundation of the world. By the way, out of the love of God, God didn't have to. He had no pressure. He had no need. God he decided to include us in this great salvation. Verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. Here it is, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Before time ever began, before there was ever a human, before humans were thought about, our great God planned salvation, but it was not a plan of necessity. It was a plan of love. God is going to save people and bring them into the eternal love of God that the triune God had with themselves before all time. It's about love, God's love for you. You're not a surprise. You were never a surprise. God had you in mind from the beginning, and your group, whatever your group is. 2 Timothy 1:9, same language now. Different pastoral epistle, Paul says this, who has saved us and called us. Same words, different angle. Saved means more the rescue. Calling means calling unto him. He saves us. He calls us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, of course not, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Same language, by the way, the identical phrase that we read in Titus, before the clock started, before chronology started. Now, I'm going to read verse 10 only because we're going to come to that in the next point. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You see, there is things that happen in time. So salvation began before all time. Secondly, we'll go to Titus 1, 1, 2 and 3. This is the second part of eternal life. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith, there is that thing called faith. Every single person who gets saved that receives eternal life from our perspective, which is the remainder of time as time moves forward, every single person has to exercise personal faith. I'll come back to that in a moment. And the acknowledging, epignosin, which has the idea of either full knowledge or acknowledging the obvious truth, obviously. Then it goes on to say, which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, which cannot lie, promised before the world began, going right back to 2 Timothy, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Even though, friends, listen, even though this eternal life begins before time, it happens, point number two, it happens in time. No one is saved in eternity past. No one, got to be careful about this, but no one's saved by election. No one's saved by predestination. I believe in both of those because they're in this text, the ideas. But you're saved in time when you personally trust Christ, when you personally come to acknowledge the truth of the gospel, when you personally deal with your sins. So even though it starts before time, it happens, say it, in time. Always, always. It happens in time. No one is saved in any other way. We had a lady that came to this church years ago. She came, and I'm being very specific, very precise. She came from a hard shell Baptist or primitive Baptist background. Not common in the Midwest, small groups in the South. She believed that you're saved in eternity past. Look him in the eyes. No one has ever been saved in eternity. Everybody gets saved at a point in time when they trust Christ, when they come to grips with truth, when they acknowledge the truth. Everybody. That's the way we get saved. It happens in time. The text talks about four different things. The preaching of the gospel. By the way, the preaching of the gospel doesn't necessarily mean what I'm doing. It is that, but it's more than that. You hear the gospel. You hear it in Awana. You hear it in Sunday school. You hear it from somebody at work. You hear it from a friend. You hear that you need to come to Christ to be saved. These kinds of things happen in the process. That's a piece of it. Then there is this concept of personal faith. By the way, we're not looking at a word, we're looking at a concept. When I got saved, I don't know if I knew about the word faith. I knew about the word believe and trust and being born again. But I came forward and trusted Jesus Christ as my only hope of heaven. So even though this is something begun in eternity past, it happens at a point in time. Hearing the gospel. Someone shares the gospel with you. And by the way, the sharing of the gospel is to go into every place on earth so people have opportunity to hear the gospel and respond. Of course, personal faith. The word might be repentance. It might be faith. It might be calling. It might be believing, trusting, coming, looking. Remember, look unto me, all you know, all you ends of the world, earth. Many words, receiving, fearing, following. 2 Timothy 2 verse 10 says this, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. By the way, that's what happens in eternity past, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I think I skipped over this, or maybe I did, maybe I'll have it later, but there is no such thing as eternal justification or eternal salvation. Salvation always happens in time when you trust Christ. Please look at me. God had you in mind from the beginning. God was going to deal with sin before there was ever sin. God and the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit worked out salvation in ways we don't understand to send his Son to earth. He always had people that look like me, and by the way, and people who don't look like me in mind. He had all of us in mind. But that salvation happens in time. When you hear the gospel, you trust Christ. You acknowledge the truth. You have a personal I understand I'm a sinner. I understand I'm condemned because of my sin. I understand I am a slave to my sin. But Jesus came to die on the cross to save us from our sins, to set us free to give us a relationship with God that will last forever. Yeah, that happens in time. Everyone gets saved in time, at a point in time. And lastly, you have this thing called godliness, which godliness always follows salvation. I don't have time to deal with that. So, Steve, if you put the little map up. Sorry about maps. By the way, to say a word in this room doesn't help 97% of the people in the room because we don't know geography. This comes from a story. In the circle are the three Baltic states. Lithuania is at the bottom. Latvia is above it. Estonia is above it. Latvia and Lithuania has similarities, culture, and language. Estonia is an isolate language, totally different language and culture. That's the little piece that sticks out. Over to the right is St. Petersburg. North is Finland. By the way, it's very warm in Finland. Over to the left, of course, is Sweden, and then farther left is Norway. You kind of get to drift. A lady in my church in St. Louis, please look at me. She was born in Riga, Latvia. She was born to a family. They would not have been upper class because those places didn't have upper class. Intellectuals. Her father was highly educated, very sophisticated family. They were different than America because everybody says, I'm German. Different kind of German. She was a quarter German, three-fourths Latvian. She spoke Latvian fluently, German fluently because that was their culture and education, and Russian, and learned English here. Her name was Nelly, or in Latvian, Nelia. In Russian, Nelishka. I love that lady to death. She was one of my favorite humans I've ever met. She, after hearing me talk about this kind of a thing, she came to me after the service, after realizing she had gotten saved in America. She said this, Pastor Warren, I was born in Riga. My family moved to St. Petersburg, which in those days was called Leningrad. Leningrad was surrounded by the German army, the two worst battles in World War II. Most Americans talk about us, Stalingrad, Leningrad. Nothing else is even close. The Germans surrounded Leningrad. About 2 million populations of civilians died from starvation, including her mother. By the way, including a lot of the Germans on the outside, too. It was a terrible mess. Her and her sister escaped. They escaped through the lines of the Germans surrounding them to get food and were captured. Her great fear was, what are those German soldiers going to do to us? But she had a secret. She was German and spoke German. They didn't do anything. Because she spoke Latvian and Russian and German, they took her back to Germany. She gets back to Germany, she says, and she told me this, she said, I was afraid the whole way. She said, it was the best food we'd had in 2 years. Potato peelings. We get back to Germany. The war gets over. I meet an American army guy. She did not know that he was the lowest of the lowest of the lowest white, trailer trash kind of person. And her family was, she would have none eye understanding. They get married, they come back to America, to southern Indiana. Her husband starts working in the Chrysler plant, just like Steve Schmidt did, Jenny. Steve Schmidt's dad did, and they transferred that company to Eureka, Missouri. She said, Pastor Warren, God brought me from Riga to St. Petersburg, to Germany, to Indiana, to St. Louis, for me to get saved. Do you understand that? God is looking for you, but you don't get saved because of some grandiose ideas. You get saved by trusting Christ, acknowledging, grabbing the truth yourself, and yourself coming to Christ. That's the only way we ever get saved. We're going to skip real quick to Titus 1, verse 2, again in verse 4. Third concept. What is eternal life? Eternal life begins before time. It happens in time, and it continues, well, this is the passage, in hope of eternal life. By the way, eternal life goes on ever, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Verse 4 says, to Titus, my own son in the faith, my own son, excuse me, after the common faith. I would say number 3 and last. Here it is, friend. Eternal life begins before time. How do I believe that? It's what God says. By the way, can I say one thing to you people? You, if you're in this room and this, you struggle with this. Do you think God is like you? You see a fire, you have to put it out. You think God didn't know what was going to happen and God hadn't planned things? Our God is greater than we can imagine. He always looked down and said, I have that group, that person, that person. But you don't get saved that way. You get saved by, in time, hearing the gospel, trusting Christ, grabbing the truth, and then living for Christ afterwards. Obviously, the godliness that follows, the whole book is going to be about that, good works. And lastly, it continues for all time. John 17, verse 2 and 3, and we're finished this morning. John 17, verse 2. Jesus in his high priestly prayer says this, as thou hast given him, speaking about himself, power or authority over all flesh, that he should give, and by the way, eternal life is always what God gives us. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it because we're a certain ethnicity. No, it's something given to us, that he, Jesus, should give eternal life to as many as thou, the Father, has given him. And then he says, and this is eternal life, or this is life eternal. What is it? That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Friends, please look at me. Here's what eternal life is. Eternal life, look at me. Eternal life is not you existing forever. Could you imagine existing forever in misery? Could you imagine existing with all of your problems and different? No, eternal life is an eternal relationship with God through his Son that changes everything, which means things like this. This is what eternal life has the idea of. Life from God. Life because of God's Son. Life with God's people. Life for God's glory. So forever, as long as humans shall live. But by the way, we're not eternal. We only experience that because of him. We will die apart from him. 10 million years from now, we'll still be dependent on him, because everything is about our great God. Our great God planning salvation, sending his Son, saving us, keeping us till the end. I'm done. Everyone look at me. I have a question. Do you know God has you in mind? You say, Pastor, you have no idea what little place I grew up. In this room, my wife might be able to find where I grew up. Could you? Maybe? Amy? Folks, I grew up so far back out in the sticks. Sorry to disappoint you. We didn't have an indoor bathroom. We didn't have indoor water. Hello? We didn't have indoor heat. So the next time I hear you complain about how cold you are, we had a wood stove downstairs. Upstairs, no heat. I got news for you. I could get out of bed, into my britches, and down the steps in one step. It was like, phew! You say, why? Because it was cold upstairs. Can I say this to all of you poor folks? I grew up with a feather tick, which was a big thing filled with feathers about this thick. And you put that on just to keep from freezing. But you had a problem. You either froze or smothered. You say, but can I say this? God knew exactly where I was. God knows exactly where you're at. Friends, here's the deal. No pressure this morning. God wants to send his Son to save you from your sins and to give you something that goes forever and ever and ever. But it's not that you get rich. It's that you have a relationship with God. And he removes your sins and your problems and your difficulties. And you have a life with him. That's eternal life, friend. life with God, life from God, life because of God's Son, life with God's people, life for God's glory. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for this great salvation. Anytime I speak on this subject, some people, we struggle in different areas. Some of us want to understand it all. There's no understanding it, other than God wasn't surprised that there are people in this area that call themselves Assyrian. You say, I don't know what an Assyrian is. No, but God does. I did not know all the regions of the Philippines. I don't know them all now. But I know this. My friend in southern the Philippines, in Agusan del Sur, when he talks about the Manobo language that he speaks, I do know this. God speaks and understands his language and is interested in those people in the mountains of Agusan and every other place on planet Earth. Thank you for it. Bless this morning. We ask, and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.